Today's daf is Erev and Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new Masechta, Masechtis Erevin. So when you talk about an Erev throughout Shas, it can typically mean one of three things. Eruvei Chatzeros, Eruvei Techumen, or Eruvei Tavshilin. An Erev Tavshilin is discussed in Masechtis Be'er. That's Negei Hilchas Yontif. Eruvei Techumen is discussed in Masechtis Erevin, but that's something that we're going to get to much later in the Masechta. The overwhelming majority of Masechtis Erevin deals with the halachos of Eruvei Chatzeros. So what exactly is Eruvei Chatzeros? The truth is that Masechtis Erevin very much is a continuation of Masechtis Shabbos. The 39th of the 39 malachas is the malach of Haitzah. What does Haitzah mean, midayraisa? It's also for a person to carry, to transfer an item, mirshus hayachid l'rshus harabim, mirshus harabim l'rshus hayachid, or dalaramis b'rshus harabim. As it relates biblically, the only rishuyos that exist are rishus hayachid l'rshus harabim. And the Torah says that you're not allowed to carry from one rishus to another rishus. Additionally, you're not allowed to carry dalaramis b'rshus harabim. But the Chachamim went and they expanded on the laws of Haitzah tremendously. In fact, as we saw when we learned Masechta Shabbos, the Malach of Haitzah is discussed disproportionately. The most basic takana that the Chachamim made to expand on the laws of Haitzah was that the Chachamim created a new type of rishos called a karmelis. A karmelis is not a rishos hayachid. A karmelis is not a rishos harabim, which means that from a deraisa perspective, it should have no bearings. It should be neither here nor there as it relates to the Malach of Haitzah. Stating that, the Chachamim said that a person has to treat a karmelis as if it's a rishos hayachid l'chumra, and a person has to treat a karmelis as if it's a rishos harabim l'chumra. So even though it doesn't meet the technical criteria of a rishos harabim, it's not wide enough, you don't have that many people that go by it on a daily basis, but to the extent that it's a shtickle, a public area, the Chachamim said you're not allowed to carry there, you have to view it as a rishus harabim l'chumra, and sometimes even as a rishus hayachid l'chumra. Another takana that the Chachamim made because of the laws of Haitzah was that the Chachamim were mevatel several mitzvahs aseh. We don't take lulav, we don't take dalad minan on sukkah shecholiyas b'shabbos, gzeirah shemei yavirenu, dalad amas b'shus harabim. We don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah shecholiyas b'shabbos, gzeirah shemei yavirenu, dalad amas b'shus harabim. We don't read the Megillah on Purim shecholiyas b'shabbos, gzeirah shemei yavirenu, dalad amas b'shus harabim. These are many very important takanas chazals. An idea that we live with on a regular basis, it's all a gzeira up to the 39th malacha. Shemi yavirenu dalaramis b'shus harabim. Another halacha that we saw in Masechta Shabbos, the Chachamim imposed because of Haitzah, was muktzah. Muktzah, which also takes up a lot of real estate in Masechta Shabbos. Muktzah, a halacha that every little child knows. The Gemara says that Nehemiah ben Chachalya instituted the laws of muktzah. Maybe he only expanded on the laws of muktzah, but it's a Gemara mefureshes. Bimei Nehemiah ben Chachalya nishnis mishnuzu, and why did Nehemiah feel that we have to institute the laws of muktzah? It was atu haitzah. He saw that people were carrying mishus hayachad rishus harabim, people were carrying dalad amas b'shus harabim. So Nehemiah ben Chachalya came along and said that not only can't you carry mishus l'shus, but you can't carry certain things at all. By telling me that I can't carry this at all, so that's a good archaka. It's a good siyog to make sure that I won't be able to carry and won't end up violating the Malach of Haitzah. So the Chachamim instituted the concept of a karmelis, Chachamim mevatel certain mitzvahs aseh. You have the laws of muktzah, many, many other halachas that the Chachamim said in Masechta Shabbos, gzeirah shemei yavirenu dalad amas b'shus harabim. But perhaps one of the most important, if not the most important takana that the Chachamim made because of a geder to the 39th Malacha, and this is very much the backdrop to Masechta Erevin. This is critical in understanding the entire Masechta. And that is the Chachamim said that just like it's not okay to carry from a Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Harabim, just like it's not okay to carry from a Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayachid, just like it's not okay to carry Dalad Amris B'Rishus Harabim, just like there's something called a Karmelis, which is a shtickle like a Rishus Harabim, and you can't carry from a Rishus Hayachid to a Karmelis, or from a Karmelis to a Rishus Hayachid, or even from a Karmelis to a Rishus Harabim, or a Rishus Harabim to a Karmelis. Chachamim took it a step further, and they said that you're not allowed to carry from one person's Rishus Hayachid to another person's Rishus Hayachid. It's not okay to take something from your house and bring it into your neighbor's house. Even if you never went through a Rishos HaRavim, even if you never went through a Carmelist, the fact that one Rishos HaYachid is owned by Reuven and the other Rishos HaYachid is owned by Shimon, that in and of itself poses a challenge. It's usur, it's not okay for a person to carry an item from one person's Rishos HaYachid to another person's Rishos HaYachid. Now, because of that, it posed a very difficult challenge for people. Meaning, to tell me that I can't carry something to and from my neighbor's house on Shabbos is not the end of the world. But if you appreciate the way people lived once upon a time, you can understand why this was an issue. Once upon a time, there were people that, and really most shtetlach, lived in a chotzer, which meant that there were many many houses that opened up into a common area. So think of a cul-de-sac, think of one of the Bote, Ungarin, etc. in Yerushalayim. Think of your bungalow colony, where you have a bunch of houses that open up into a chatzar. You have 20 people that live in this area. Each person owns his house individually. But at the same time, the chatzar was owned commonly. It was a common area. Additionally, these chatzeros, respectively, would open up into a mavoi, an alleyway, which would ultimately lead into the Rishos HaRabim. So if you were coming from the Rishos HaRabim into your house, you would be in the Rishos HaRabim, you'd go into some alleyway called the mavoi, and the mavoi would open up into several chatzeros. You would make a right or a left into your chatzer. From that chatzer, you would end up going into your house, and that's how you would get home. So it's house, which opens up into a chatzer, chatzer, which opens up into a mavoi, and the mavoi leads into the Rishos HaRabim. The reason this was an issue is because on Shabbos, people used to spend time in their chatzer. People used to spend time in their house. Can you carry from your house into your chatzer? Now, midday rice, of course you could, because your house is a Rishos HaYachid, and most chatzeris were considered a Rishos HaYachid as well. They were surrounded by mechitzas, by walls. So as a result, there was no reason for them not to be considered a Rishos HaYachid. However, being that the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to carry from Reuven's Rishos HaYachid to Shimon's Rishos HaYachid, so this posed a tremendous issue, because the batim were all owned individually. The chatzer was owned commonly by all the shareholders, all the members of this chatzer. So essentially, if I would take something from my house into the chatzer, I would be carrying something from my house, which is owned by me individually, into a chatzer of which I only own 5%, of which I'm a shutif, where there are other people that own parts of the chatzer together with me, which means the ownership of the house and the chatzer is not the same. The house is owned by me individually, and the chatzah was mishutefes. It was owned by many people. Now, if the Chachamim said you're not allowed to carry from Reuven's Rishos HaYachid to Shimon's Rishos HaYachid, albeit midrabbanan, because midday raisa you only can't carry from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid, Adal Anamas Rishos HaRabim. But the rabbanan went along and they said you can't even carry from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaYachid if the two Rishos HaYachid are owned by different people. So there's no way for me to be able to carry from my house into my chatzah. The same was true for the people that lived in all these respective chatzeros as it related to the mavoi. How are they supposed to carry from the chatzer to the mavoi? The chatzer was owned by the 20 people whose houses opened up into the chatzer, each person owning 5% of the chatzer. But the mavoi was owned by the members of all the chatzeros. So if you had 10 chatzeros that opened up into this one mavoi, so now each person's ownership is diluted by 10, by 1/10. Which means, again, it's not the same ownership. It's not the same ownership. So you're running into an issue where even though the chatzer may be a Rishos HaYachid and the mavui may be a Rishos HaYachid, but how can I carry from a chatzer to a mavui if the ownership of the chatzer and the mavui was the same? So again, when you hear this takana that you're not allowed to carry from one person's Rishos HaYachid to another person's Rishos HaYachid, okay, it's not the end of the world. But when you appreciate the fact that people lived in chatzeris and mavois, that was just the way that it was olam kimin hagoy noye. So for me to carry from my house into a chatzer was a problem. For me to carry from a chatzer into a mavui, that too was going to be a problem. And it's for that reason the Chachamim said that we have to make a solution. This problem is too big. I mean, the Chachamim wanted this takana. This was a gezeira of something that the Chachamim felt they had to do to protect the Malacha of Eitzah. But at the same time, they felt that we need a solution. So what was the solution? Enter a Ruve Chatzeres. The Chachamim said that there's an Eitzah, a trick, similar to a heteriska that somebody may use if he wants to lend money, charge ribbis, and not have to violate the laws of ribbis. Similar to somebody that when it comes Pesach, he doesn't want to throw out all his chametz, so he does a mechiras chametz to an Eini Yehudi, and this is his way of being able to have his chametz, and at the same time, not violate the laws of Bayira, Bayimat. Chamim said that what a person can do is he can make an Eruv Chatzeres. And Eruv Chatzeres, as it relates to the Batim and the Chatzarar, where all the people that live in this common Chatzar, so the 20 houses, the 20 individuals that own houses that open up until this Chatzar, what they do is they chip in for Mazon Shtei Sudois, the proverbial box of matzahs. They all chip in for a box of matzahs. They take this box of matzahs and they put it into one of the houses in the Chatzar. What is that supposed to do? In Lumbis, what it does is it makes us view it as if everybody that lives in the Chatzar really lives in that one house. It's as if there aren't 20 different families living in 20 houses. There are actually 20 different families living in one house. Which house? The house that has the Mazon Shtei Sudois. If the 20 different houses are really all one, because everyone's really living in that one house, we'll see and understand this a lot better as we go through the Masechta. So then you have nothing to worry about. Because the whole issue is that here you have a chatzar that's owned by 20 different houses, and the houses are owned individually by each one. It's not a problem anymore, because now we're looking at the chatzar as if it belongs to one house. One house, one chatzar. So this is all the same ownership. If that's the case, you have nothing to worry about. So if you have nothing to worry about, this is the way of circumventing the basic issue of how am I allowed to carry Mirshus HaYochid or Shus HaYochid, how am I allowed to carry from my house into a chatzar. Chamim did the same exact thing and said that you can use this solution as it relates to the carrying from the chatzar to the mavoi. As it relates to the chatzar mavoi, same thing. All the people of the respective chatzeres, they chip in, they buy the proverbial box of matzahs, they put it into one of the chatzeres, so we don't look at it as many chatzeres opening up into one mavoi, but rather we look at it as one chatzar that's opening up into one mavoi. But it's the same difference. The concept is that you create a single owner. Exactly how that works, we'll get into the details, but now, as it relates to the introduction, just from the high level, and once you have the single owner, so now you have no problem anymore. So essentially, what is an Eruv Chatzeres? An Eruv Chatzeres is a solution to a problem, a rabbinic problem, not a deraisa problem, a derabbanan problem. You want to be able to carry from your house into a chatzer. You want to be able to carry from a chatzer into a mavoi. Mid deraisa, it's not a problem. You're going Mirshus HaYachid, Mirshus HaYachid. Your house is a Mirshus HaYachid. The chatzer is a Mirshus HaYachid. The mavoi is a Mirshus HaYachid. But the Chachamim, amongst the many takanas that they made, Gzeira Mishamaitza, said that you're not allowed to carry from one person's Mirshus HaYachid to another person's Mirshus HaYachid. You can't carry from a Mirshus HaYachid that's owned by one person to a Rishus HaYachid that's owned by 20 people. If that's the case, I can't carry from a bias to a chatzar. If that's the case, I can't carry from a chatzar to a mavoi. But at the same time, there's an eitzah. There's a workaround. What's the eitzah? You make an eruv. You make a ruve chatzeros. Incidentally, as it relates to a mavoi, the eruv is not referred to as a ruve chatzeros, but rather it's referred to as shitufe mavois. So a ruve chatzeros and shitufe mavois are synonyms of each other. It gets confusing, but really they're the same exact thing. A ruve chatzeros is where the houses are making an eruv together with each other so that they can now carry from their house into the chatzar. Shitufe mavois is when the chatzeros are making an Erev with each other so that they should be able to carry from the Chatzeres into the Mavoi. But essentially, Lumbis, it's all one and the same. But there was another issue that really is also very much the backdrop of Masechtas Erevin. And that is, the Chachamim had another concern. The Chachamim said that if a person's going to carry in the Mavoi, the Mavi looks a little bit like a Rishus HaRabim. And it could be people are going to start carrying in a Rishus HaRabim as well. The Mavi was this street, an alleyway, that opened into the Rishus HaRabim. It's the service road that literally walks right into the Rishus HaRabim. It's the ramp getting onto a major highway. So if this is a road that takes you onto a Rishus HaRabim, it schmecks a little like a Rishus HaRabim. So you could have three walls and mechitzes, but at the same time, the Chachamim felt it looks a little too much like a Rishus HaRabim. So the Chachamim said, in order for a person to be able to carry from a Mavoi, forget about Chatzit to the Mavoi, forget about Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid. This was a separate issue. It schmecks a little like a Rishus HaRabim. So Chachamim said, you have to do something. So what do? You have to make a hacker. You have to show that this Mavoi is not really part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's a little different than the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbah. What's the hacker? What do you do? So there's a few etzes. One etze is you take a cross beam and you put it across the entrance of the mavoi. That cross beam is what's known in the Gemara, in the vernacular, as a kaira. This kaira is going to serve as a hacker that this is not part of the Rishus HaRabim. This is obviously part of a Rishus HaYachid. Alternatively, you can make a lechi. A lechi is you just take a shtick holtz, you take a piece of wood, you stick it in the ground, and that lechi, again, serves as a hecker, it serves as a simen, that this is not part of the Rishus HaRabim, but rather this is part of the Rishus HaYachid. But just to be clear, we're going to talk about a Ruvei Chatzeros, we're going to talk about Shetufei Mevayis, we're going to talk about a Kaira, we're going to talk about a lechi, and much, much, much more. But at the same time, there's two separate things that are going on. A Ruvei Chatzeros and Shetufei Mevayis is coming to address one problem, and lechi and Kaira is coming to address another problem. And Ruvei Chatzeros and Shetufei Mevayis is coming to address the takanas chachamim that I'm not allowed to carry mirshus hayachid shel Ruvein lirshus hayachid shel Shimon. The lechi and the kaira is coming to address. I want to carry inside a mavoi. The problem is the mavoi walks right into the rishus harabim, so it looks a little bit like a rishus harabim. So what I need to do is I need to make some sort of hecker. I need to make some sort of simin that this is really not part of the rishus harabim. So what do? I go to the entranceway of the mavoi and I put a lechi and I put a kaira. These are both issues that are only midrabanan. These are both issues that relate to the 39th melacha of Hitzah Mirishus L'Rishus, but at the same time, the two issues are really coming to address two completely different issues. It's interesting that, you know, if you ask the man on the street, what's an Erev? He's going to tell you, take two poles and you put a white string and somehow that allows you to, you know, to carry things on Shabbos. That Beloshon Amami is what an Erev is. But on the Talmudic level, that's really not what an Erev is. What is that? That's more of a technical side issue, which says that the only time you can make an Erev at the end of the day is if you have a Rishus HaYachid. Right, if you don't have a Rishus HaYachid, you can't make an Erev. Can't make an Erev in a Rishus HaRabim. Can't make an Erev in a Carmelis. Why not? Because again, what's the yisoid of an Erev? An Erev is a solution to a problem. Which problem? Can Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaYachid? But if I want to carry from Rishus HaYachid to a Carmelis, then I don't have the solution of a Ruvei Chatzeres. If I want to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, then I don't have the solution of a Ruvei Chatzeres. Because by definition, a Ruvei Chatzeres is a solution to allow a person to carry from one person's Rishus HaYachid to another person's Rishus HaYachid. Doesn't allow you to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Carmelis. It doesn't allow you to carry Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So what happens is when people make a Reuven, they try to first see if they can establish an area as a Rishus HaYachid. Oh, once you have a Rishus HaYachid, now let's make an Erev. Now let's figure out how you're going to be able to carry Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid. Meaning, if you lived in an area that's a bona fide chatzer, four walls, you know, one of the kihilos in Yerushalayim, then you wouldn't have to have strings, because it's easy. You have your four walls, it's a bona fide Rishus HaYachid. I just have to figure out how to carry from Reuven's Rishus HaYachid to Shimon's Rishus HaYachid. Okay, that's where Ruvei Chatzeres comes in. That's where Shetufei Mevayis comes in. The problem is, it's usually not that simple. So what you usually need to do is you need to create mechitzas. You need to create an environment that has a halachic din of a Rishus HaYachid. That's where the poles and the strings and the mountains and the rivers and the highways and Ocean Parkway, and that's where everything comes in. But that's really more in just establishing the mechitzas so that I have a Rishus HaYachid. So yes, can be read and an Erev. So it's true that when you think of an Erev, you're thinking of the poles and the string. Really, that's not what it is. And which is fine, but when you learn the Gemara, you don't want to get confused. That's not what the Erev is. What is the Erev? The Erev is the box of matzahs that's hiding on top of one of the Sfarim Shafas in the Beis Medrash somewhere. But that's really what the Erev is. It's the mazon shtei sudois that's ma'achid all the houses and the chatzar into one. So now it's not mishutefes anymore. It's like this, you don't have a problem carrying mirshus l'rishus. It's just interesting. It's interesting. We spoke about this so much in Masech Shabbos, that Masech Shabbos deals disproportionately with the malachas of Haitzah. I mean, the Lamites malachas are mentioned in Klal Gadol. Many of them are explained in some of the ensuing brakim, but you have one daf, literally. Shabbos daf ayin dalet is boirer. And then you have a few lines of Gemara as it relates to Zaireya. When it comes to Haitzah, you have the first 10 blot kemat of Masech Shabbos. You have Perik HaZoirik, which deals with all the lumdus again, some spluta kamisha hunchadamya. I mean, some of the most lumdish gemaras in Masech Shabbos deal with the malacha of Haitzah. And then you have halacha of after halacha, or related to Haitzah. Yet Tosfos says on Shabbos Tav Beis Amud Aleph a few times Zum dritten Mal, that Hoitza is really a Malacha Geruah. It was like an inferior what am I doing? But I'm Zereya, yeah. I'm Boina, I'm Koisev, I'm creating, I'm building Makaba Patish. Hoitza, I just moved it from point A to point B. What contribution did I really make to society when I took something from point A to point B? Very, very little. And that's why Tosfos says it's a Malacha Geruah. And you find that because Hoitza is a Malacha Geruah, many Nafkaminas Lahalacha, as we mentioned throughout Masechta Shabbos. But there's a flip side to that. The flip side to that is because Hoitzah was a Malacha Geruah, I think, the Chachamim was so worried about Hoitzah. And the Chachamim felt that people are going to be lax about it. So on the one hand, yeah, Chatzi Shir is not a problem maybe when it comes to Hoitzah. And maybe Shvisas Behem is not a problem when it comes to the Malacha of Hoitzah. But at the same time, Hoitzah is so Geruah, no one's going to take it seriously. And that's why the Chachamim made so many takanas. Imagine, Muktzah, Erev, these are two of the biggest line items when you learn Shabbos. But what's it all about? It all boils down to a Malacha Geruah, the 39th of the Lamatas Malachas, the Malacha of Hoitzah. Either way, on that note, we begin Mesechtes Erevin. Zok de Mishnah Mavoy Shehu Gevaya Lemaila Me'esrim Amo Yema'et. So you have a Mavoy. The Mavoy opens up into a Rishos HaRabim. It's a problem. Because being that it opens up into a Rishus HaRabim, it looks a little like a Rishus HaRabim. Chabon were afraid that if you're going to carry in a Mavo, you may end up carrying in a Rishus HaRabim. This is the second of the two issues that Mesechtes Erevin is coming to address. So the Chachamim said, you want to carry, you need to make some sort of hacker. What's the hacker? Either a Kaira, a crossbeam, or a Lechi, or you stick a pole. The question is, how high could that Kaira be? Let's assume, as we mentioned in the introduction, that the purpose of the Kaira is to serve as a hacker. So at some point, you would think it's not a hacker. If it's going to be 500 feet up in the air, so who's going to see it? Says the Mishnah, if the Mavui is Gavoy L'maylo Yasser Mamo, if it's more than 20 Amis above ground, the Halach is Yemayit, at that point, yeah, it's too high. If it's too high, it's not a hacker, and if it's not a hacker, it's not going to be a kosher Kaira. So it's not really the Mavui that's Gavoy L'maylo Yasser Mamo. It's really the Kaira that's Gavoy L'maylo Yasser Mamo. If that's more than 20 amas tall, at that point, it doesn't serve as a proper hacker. It's as if it's not there. If it's as if it's not there, you have the takanas chachamim that you're not allowed to carry in a mavui that doesn't have either a lechi or a kerib. Rabbi Yehuda says, ain't it tzarech, it's not true. You don't have to be a mayit. If the entrance way to the mavui was more than 10 amas wide, you mayit. That too is considered a little bit too wide. Meaning, even if you have a kaira, and the kaira is not more than 20 amas off the ground, but if the entrance way is that wide, you have to narrow it a little bit. Only then is it going to be okay. If, however, the entranceway has a tzuras ha-pesach, a tzuras ha-pesach means there's two poles and a crossbeam on top. So if you have a very wide entrance to the mavoi, meaning from the Rishus HaRabim to the mavoi, the entrance is very wide. But at the same time, you put a tzuras ha-pesach there, then the halach is afal pishu racham yasser amis. Even if the entranceway is more than 10 amis wide, ain't tzarech l'mayit, you don't have to be m'mayit. Zok, the Gemara, everything will be explained. Tan ha-sam, we learned in another mishnah. Sukkah shekivay l'mayilam yasser amim psula. If a sukkah is more than 20 amis tall, the halach is its pasul. Rabbi Yehuda machsher, Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be kosher, which at first glance seems like l'shitasa in Mishnah. Our Mishnah is discussing Erevin. A little complicated. That Mishnah is discussing Sukkah. Much more simple. Our Mishnah is not such a well-known Mishnah. That Mishnah may be the most famous Mishnah in Shas. But either way, the Kaira is too tall, meaning you have to make it a little lower. Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah Masechta the Sukkah says that a Sukkah shegavoy l'mayla me'asir mama is psula. And again, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai seemingly says it's going to be kosher. But the Gemara asks a subtle diak. At the end of the day, the Chachamim's Lashon is not the same in the two Mishnayas. In Masechta's Erevin, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Mavu shehu gavoy l'mayla me'asir mama, you might make it a little bit lower. In Masechta's Sukkah, the Lashon is Sukkah shegavoy l'mayla Mama. In our Mishnah, we're being constructive. Oh, you have a mavo, you have a kaira that's too tall? Okay, make a little bit lower. Masechta Sukkah, the Tana is not being so constructive. The Tana is giving a psa, psula, it's possible. Okay, what am I supposed to do? Yeah, probably supposed to make it a little bit lower. But at the end of the day, although the Mishnah's L'chur is saying the same thing, but the lashon is not the same. In our Mishnah, it says Yemayit, and in that Mishnah, it says Pesula. Zokta Gemara, Sukkah Deiraisa, Tani Pesula. Sukkah is a Deiraisa de Gedeh. Pesukkah is Teich Roshiv as Yom, as a Pasuk in the Torah. I mean that it's a Din Deiraisa, so over there, the Tana of the Mishnah said Pesula, Mavui de Rabbanon, but our Sugi is only a Din de Rabbanon. Again, why? Because Mid Deiraisa the Mavui, as we'll get into in the Sugis, has a Din of a Roshus Ayachid. It was only Mid de Rabbanon that you're not allowed to carry in the Mavui. Why? Because it opens up into a Roshus Ayachid. So it's a little too similar to the Rosh Hashanah. But the whole issue that we're coming to address is a Din Derabbanan. Oh, we're dealing with a Derabbanan, Tani Takanta, Sadir, instead of saying Psula, instead we say Takana. Rashi explains that what the Gemara means to say is that the Erises were assumed to have been known by the Olam before they sat down and learned Mishnah Yisukah. Meaning, if something is Midairaisa, so presumably the Olam knows it. So people know that if a Sukkah is more than 20 amas tall, you might. They know you have to make it lower. So what do we need to tell them? That if they don't make it lower, it's going to be possible. But as it relates to a Mavu Yishu Gavoy L'mayla Miyasar Mama, before you learn Masech Tzervin, how am I even supposed to know this halach exists? This was the rabbinic decree that stated the laws of Eruvin, and in this halacha, you're telling me something about a Eruv that's more than 20. So why are you jumping and telling me possible? First tell me what I'm supposed to do. So again, it's a subtle diuk, the question. The answer is even more subtle. But the bottom line is, Sukkah Deiraisa Tani Psula, Mavi Derabbana Tani Takanta. People are saying, Deiraisa Nami Tani Takanta. Really could be by Deiraisa, it should have said Takanta. And if that's the case, the Lekatchila way of saying Sukkah Shigavoy Lamaila Miyasin Rama would not have been to say Psula, but rather to say, you might. Ella Sukkah de Nefishin Mili Pasuk Vitani Psula. But if you learn the Mishnah in Masech Sukkah, it's Nefishin Mili. The Mishnah over there talks about a whole bunch of different halachas. The Mishnah says that if the Sukkah doesn't have three Defanoi, the Mishnah talks about if you have a sukkah that's chamasa merubah mitzilasa, but it's a few different psulim that are mentioned in that Mishnah. So being that there's a few different things that are mentioned in that Mishnah, had the Mishnah started mentioning all the takanos, it would have became a very wordy Mishnah. The Mishnah would have had to say that a sukkah should give by the ma'aser ma'amo you might. Okay, v'she'en l'shalosh tefanos, add a wall. V'shechamasa merubah mitzilasa, add a little bit of schach. So being that we would have had to talk a little bit too much, so pasuk v'tani psula. So we kept it simple and we said it's going to be pasul. Mavi d'loy nefishi mili, as it relates to a mavi, however, where the Mishnah just said one halacha, it doesn't say a bunch of halachas. It says one halacha. So really, either way, the time of the Mishnah is going to say one word. Either the word is going to be psula, or the word is going to be yamait. So tani takanta. So therefore, the time of the Mishnah mentioned the takana rather than say psula. It said yamait. Meaning, the lekatchila way to talk about it would be to say yamait. However, at the same time, we have to balance using the most lekatchila digger word with the idea of not talking too much. So as it relates to mavoi, so this, it's going to be one word regardless. Either it's going to be yamait or it's going to be psula. Yamait's a better word. Takanta is better than simply saying psula. And as a result, it says mavoi shugavoi, the ma'ilam yasir ma'am is going to be yamait. But by sukkah, if you would say yamait, you would end up having to talk a lot more. By saying psula, it's one word that fits all. So we'd rather go with the one word. Now what's this maila of just saying one word? What is, we're mincing words? So Rashi quotes a Gemara in Psachim Daf Gimel Amid Beis, Lo'olam Yishana Adam LeTalmidai B'derech Kitzara. There's an idea that you're supposed to speak B'derech Kitzara, and it's clear from learning Mishnayos that the Tana of the Mishnah always spoke B'derech Kitzara. That's why you have Braises that are always coming to elaborate a little bit on the Mishnah, and then you had the Amiram that came to elaborate on the Tana. But there's an idea of Lo'olam Yishana Adam LeTalmidai B'derech Kitzara. Incidentally, who said that? Who's the one that said, Lo'olam Yishana Adam LeTalmidai B'derech Kitzara? It's Rav. This is one of the many memories in Shas attributed to Rav that talk about Shtika. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, Amru Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shelo Yisach Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav. Everybody mutches, everybody struggles to find where the Rambam got that from. It's a Gemara in Sukkah Chav Ches Amin Aleph regarding Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. It's a Gemara in Sukkah Chav Ches Amin Aleph regarding Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol's Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Shelo Yisach Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav. But Al Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shelo Yisach Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav, that no one's able to find. Not just that, we know there's a price, and we've spoken about it many times in the Chabur. Torah, even in the new Machzor, that talks about the Asara Mila, the Chassidus of Rav, that there were 10 Chumras that Rav was Noik. And this is not even mentioned as one of the 10. So the Maratzchias in the Tshuva was asked the Shiloh, his son was the Shiloh, and he told him, he says, Tata, Chvashtenish, this didn't make the top 10? How's that possible? Meaning the Meforshe HaRambam said, the Noisakeum didn't understand where the Rambam got this from. He says, not only don't I know where the Rambam got it from, I have a kash on the Rambam. Because I have a Brisa that mentions Rav's top 10 Chumras, and it doesn't even mention this. But the truth is that even though it's not clear where the Rambam got this from, because it's not Mefurish anywhere, and if anything, the Brisa of Asara Mil de Chasidos would seem to imply not like the Rambam, because you would think, like Soch Sicha Betel Kol Yomav would have been in the top 10 Chumras of all time as it relates to Rav, but at the same time, there are many, many memories in Shas that are attributed to Rav, where Rav talks about Shtika. Rav said, Sichas Chumran Shal Tamid HaChacham Tzarech Talmud. Rav said, that Asa Lavi, they're going to judge a person for everything. Afilo Sicha Kala Shabain Ishla Ishla. This is one of them. La'olam Yishana Adon L'Talmid HaBederech Kitzara. Psachim Daf Gimel Amid Beis. Who said it? Rav said it. Zok to Gemara on the topic of Rav. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Chachamim Loi Lamdua Elam Yipischa Shal Heichol. Rav Yehuda Loi Lamdua Elam Yipischa Shal Odom. So we have a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda and the Mishnah. If a Mavoi is Gevoy Lamai Lamai Yasser Mam. Again, it's not the Mavoi per se. It's the Koyre that's on top of the Mavoi. If it's Gevoy Lamai Lamai Yasser Mam, is it Kosher as a Pasal? According to the Chachamim, it's Pasal. Chum didn't say Pasal, they said Yemai, but it's the same difference. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ein Tzarech, you don't have to make it lower. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be kosher. So what's the Hezber of the Machloikis? So Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav, Chachamim Loi Lamdu Al Mipischa Shal Heichol. The Chachamim learned their Shita from the entranceway to the Heichol. And Rabbi Yehuda learned his Shita from the entranceway to the Ulam. Time we learned in the Mischa, Pischa Shal Heichol, the entranceway to the Heichol, Gova Yasser Amas, was 20 Amas tall, Verach by Yasser Amas, and it was 10 Amas wide. The Shal Ulam, the Ulam was Gavay Arba'an Mamo. The Pesach was 40 Amos tall. V'roch by Esher Mamo Amos. And it was 20 Amos wide. The Heichal was in the Beis HaMikdash. It was the equivalent of the Oyel Moed, which was in the Mishkan, which is where the Shulchan was. It's is where the Menorah was. It's where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. It's where the Mizbeach HaPnimi was, the Mizbeach on which the Ketores was brought. That was all indoors. It was inside the Heichal. If you wanted to go from the Azara into the Heichal, you had to go through a hallway. You had to go through an Ulam, another structure. The Heichal was, again, where the Avodos were done. The Ulam was just the room that the Kohen had to enter through when he was going from the Azara into the Heichal. The Mishnah that the Gemara just quoted is a Mishnah Mesechtes Midos, and it describes the dimensions of the entranceway to the Heichal and the dimensions of the entranceway to the Ulam. The height of the entrance to the Heichal was 20 Amos. The width was 10 Amos. The height of the entranceway to the Ulam was 40 Amos. The width was 20 Amos. Zok to Gemara, v'shneya, mikro echador shu. That the Chachamim learned their Shita from the Pesach of the Heichal. Rabbi Yehuda learned his Shita from the Pesach of the Ulam. Okay, we need a little bit more Hezber. And it both boils down to the same Pasuk. It says, V'shachtu Pesach Oyel Moed. The Pasuk says in Parashas Vayikra that the carbon was brought where? Pesach Oyel Moed. You see, here's the punchline, that the entranceway to the Oyel Moed was referred to as a Pesach. Okay, Rabbanan, Tzavi, the Rabbanan hold, K'tushas Heichal L'chod, V'K'tushas Ulam L'chod. If the entranceway to the Oyel Moed is called a Pesach, the Torah says, "Ushchatei Pesach Oyel Moed." That means that the entranceway to the Heichal is also called a Pesach. Why? Because the Heichal is to the Beis HaMikdash what the Oyel Moed is to the Mishkan. It's the same exact thing. Right, the Mishkan is Lachod, and the Beis HaMikdash is Lachod. But at the same time, they both had the outer area, the Chatzar, the Azara, and they both had the enclosed area, the Oyel Moed, and the Heichal. So if the Pesach to the Oyel Moed is called the Pesach, then the Pesach to the Heichal is also going to be called the Pesach. So from this Pasuk, Ushchatei Pesach Oyel Moed, we now know that the Pesach of the Heichal is called the Pesach. Hold that thought. You only see that the Pesach of the Heichal is called a Pesach. You don't see that the Pesach of the Ulam is called a Pesach. Why? Because although the Heichal is the Oyel Moed,
The ulam is not the oil ma'id. Why? Maybe not. Maybe the ulam is also like the oil ma'id. Maybe it's the heichal and the ulam together that are the equivalent thereof of the oil ma'id. There was no equivalent to the ulam in the Mishkan. But maybe as it relates to the Beis HaMikdash, the heichal and the ulam together are the equivalent of the oil ma'id. The Teretz is the Chachamim hold, Kedushas heichal l'chud, v'kedushas ulam l'chud. No, the heichal is the oil ma'id. The Kedusha of the ulam is a whole different Kedusha. If that's the case, v'chik se pesach oil ma'id, the heichal except Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda holds, heichal ulam Kedusha achasi. No, the heichal and the ulam are really one and the same, and really any carbon that you were able to bring in the Heichal, you were able to bring in the Ulam. Even the Ulam was not the Lechatchila place to do it, but if you wanted to do it, it was okay. So if the Heichal and the Ulam are one and the same, and you know that Pesach Oil Moyed, meaning the entranceway to the Oil Moyed is called the Pesach, then it means that the entranceway to the Heichal is called the Pesach, and the entranceway to the Ulam is also called the Pesach. So the Chiksev Pesach Oil Moyed, Atravayu Hudachsev, it means it's referring back to both of them. Okay, what does this all mean? In order for you to be machsher the mavoi and be allowed to carry, you need to make some sort of hacker. The Gemara understands it to mean that when you put the koira on top of the entranceway, what you're essentially doing is you're creating a pesach. So if this mavoi now has a pesach, oh, the pesach just changed it. So now it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim, it's a pesach. Meaning it's not just a hacker ba'almo. What you're doing is you're making a lumdish a hecker. You're establishing a Pesach. So the question then becomes, how tall could the Kaira be? Well, up until what point will we still deem the Kaira as having established a Pesach as rather than just there being a piece of wood or a beam on top of the entranceway? So we need to figure out what the definition of a Pesach is. So the Gemara says we have a little bit of insight. You know what the insight is? We have a pasuk in the Torah, Shchatei Pesach Ayomayid. So we know the entranceway to the Ayomayid was called a Pesach. So if that's the case, we have a little bit of a lead as to what the definition of a Pesach might be. Now the Ayomayid we're going to see soon was the Krushim of the Ayomayid were only 10 amas tall. But if Ayomayid to the Mishkan is the equivalent of Heichal to the Beis HaMikdash, and we know the entranceway to the Heichal was really 20 amas tall, so that now means that if something is 20 amas tall, it's an entranceway, it's considered a Pesach. If the Oyel Mayed doesn't just mean the Heichal, but it means the Ulam as well, because Kedushas Heichal v'Kedushas Ulam Chada Kedushahi, that means it's not just the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash that's the equivalent to the Oyel Mayed, but it's the Heichal and the Ulam of the Beis HaMikdash that are the equivalent to the Oyel Mayed. So that means we have even a broader definition of what a Pesach might be. Because although the entranceway to the Oyel Mayed was 10 Amos, the entranceway to the Heichal was 20 Amos, but the entranceway to the Ulam was 40 Amos. So if that's the case, the Kaira could be 40 Amos tall, it's still going to be considered a Pesach. If it's still going to be considered a Pesach, then it could be Machsher this Mavoi. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, you want to know what the Hesber and the Machloik is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and the Mishnah. So when you learn Sukkah Dabez, so you have all these different Pshatim and what Pshat and the Chachamim is. Right, a person sitting down, he doesn't see it to the top of the Sukkah. We'll see a little bit about that on Daf Gimel. But on Daf Sukkah, you have all the Sukkah Digger Svaris. No, this is a Svara that boils down to what the definition of a Pesach is. Why would there be a Machloikis? Because we know a Pesach to the Oyel Moed was considered a Pesach, which means the Pesach to the Heichal was considered a Pesach. What about the Ulam? What is the Talion? The Ulam and the Heichal Chadik Tusha, or the Ulam and the Heichal Alav Chadik Tusha? If it's Chadik Tusha, then Shchatei Pesach Oyel Moed means the Heichal and the Ulam as well. That means up until 40 Amos. So if the Mavu is Gavoy Lamai Lamai Yasser Mamu, there's no reason for you to have to be Mamai. If, however, the Ulam and the Heichal are the Chud, so then it comes out Shchatei Pesach Oyel Moed only means the Heichal. If it only means the Heichal, you only know up until 20 Amos. More than 20 Amos, you're not going to know. So in short, what's the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham and the Mishnah? The Ulam and the Heichal. Was it Chadik Tusha or was it Lav Chadik Tusha? Had we go from the beginning of Erev into a sugya tucked away in Mesech Tzvachim, the Gemara does what it does. But either way, that's the Hesber. It's a Kachim the Gemachloikis. If somebody wanted to be Makta the Ktairis in the Ulam, would it be Kasha? Would it not be Kasha? That's the Shaila. If the Mavoi, the Kairis, the Gavoi, the Vaila, Meyasr Mamu, is it going to be Kasha? Is it going to be Basi? You see how the entire Shas is so interconnected. It's fascinating. Viva Yisema. Dimar says another Mahal. Could be the Rabbi Yehuda Namik Tushas Ulam, the Chud Kedushas Heichal. Maybe everybody agrees that the Ulam and the Heichal are independent Kedushas. So if you have a Pasik that says, It's a makar that the Pesach today, or Mayud was called a Pesach. It's a makar that the Pesach of the Heichel was considered a Pesach. But it's not a makar that the Pesach of the Ulam is a Pesach. So if that's the case, we only know a Pesach is a Pesach so far up until 20 Amos. Oh, your Mayud, you see 10 Amos, and from the Heichel you see 20 Amos. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that if it's more than 20 Amos, it's going to be okay? But any time with Rabbi Yehuda, the Chsiv, El Pesach Ulam Abayis. There's another Pasuk. It says El Pesach Ulam Abayis. And in that Pasuk, we know that even if it's more than 20 Amos, it's going to be considered a Pesach. Meaning you see that even the Pesach of an Ulam, which was 40 Amos tall, is going to be a Pesach. Rabbanon say, Ihavi Kasav El Pesach Ulam. Had it in fact said El Pesach Ulam, Kiduk Amr. I would agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda. But Hashu Dechsev El Pesach Ulam Abayis. It doesn't say El Pesach Ulam. Rather, what it says is El Pesach Ulam Habayis. The way you read the Pasuk is Habayis of Pasuach Ulam. The Pasuk's not describing the Pesach of the Ulam, but rather what it's describing is the Ulam, which opens up into the bias, the Heichal, or the bias that opens up into the Ulam. But either way, it's not the Pesach of the Ulam, so you have no makar that the Pesach of the Ulam is going to be considered a Pesach. There's one problem with the V'ibay Yaseim of the Gemara. The Gemara just quoted a Pasuk, El Pesach HaUlam. The problem is no such pasuk. If you take a look at Tosfos and the other Rishonim, they all struggled. They said there's no such pasuk. Zeh ha-pasuk einoy b'shum makor. Tosfos dibra maskol dechsev el pesach ulam abayis ayin sham. Where Tosfos tries to figure out what this means. Tosfos says it's related to a few different psukim in Yecheskel Perek Mem, where the Tana of the Mishnah was just intermingling different psukim. Zok the Gemara akash b'kiksev hay b'mishkan ksev. Freit the Gemara. I don't understand. You're telling me that the benchmark of how high a Koyra could be, according to the Chachamim, in order for you to be able to carry in the Mavoi, is 20 Amos. What's the Svara of 20 Amos? Because in order for the Koyra to work, you have to establish a Pesach, and up until 20 Amos, it's considered a Pesach. More than 20 Amos, it's not considered a Pesach. What's the Makar? Pasuk in the Torah. Ushchate Pesach Ayomayit. Freit the Gemara. How could you learn it from Ushchate Pesach Ayomayit? At the end of the day, the Ayomayit was referring to the Mishkan. We're now bringing a raya from a Mishnah, Masechtes Midos, which was talking about the Beis HaMikdash. The height of the Pesach of the Ohel Moed was only 10 Amos. So maybe only up until 10 Amos is considered a Pesach. We made a Hanacha, a whole Shtikl Torah, in everything that we said. And that is that the Ohel Moed is to the Mishkan, what the Heichal is to the Beis HaMikdash. So if the Pesach of the Ohel Moed is a Pesach, so now the Pesach of the Heichal is also going to be considered a Pesach. Meicha Tesi, it's two separate things. One is talking about the Mishkan, and the other one is talking about the Mikdash. So the Gemara says, Ashkicha Mishkan Ikri Mikdash, U Mikdash the Ikri Mishkan. No, the premise of what the Gemara just said was based on the fact that Mishkan and Mikdash are interchangeable. The Gemara says, Ilai Teimahachi, because if not, hold on, Rabbi Yehuda Mashmur, Rabbi Yehuda, send the name of Shmuel, a very important Kachem Halacha, Shlomim Sheshachtam, Koidim Psichais, Talsais, Ahechol, Psulim. The Shlomim that was brought before the doors of the Hechol were opened is going to be possible. There was a Halacha that you weren't allowed to bring the carbon Shlomim, it's a din in a Shlomim. You weren't allowed to bring the carbon Shlomim before the doors of the Hechol were opened. The entranceway to the Heichal was 20 Amos, so the doors were obviously very big. It was a big deal. The Levium used to open up the doors, and before the doors were open, you weren't allowed to bring a carbon shlomim. And that Pasuk teaches me that the only time you're allowed to bring the shlomim is when the doors are open, not when they're closed. What's the kashviki? That Pasuk is the Mishkan. So how do you know that you're not allowed to bring the carbon shlomim before you open up the doors of the Heichal? Because it says a pasuk by the Mishkan. Maybe that Allah is only by the Mishkan. Maybe it's not by the Mikdash. Elo, what do you have to say? Ashkal Mikdash Ikri Mishkan or Mishkan Ikri Mikdash. You have to say the two are interchangeable. So if the two are interchangeable as it relates to the halacha of shlomim, sheshachtam, koidim, psichas, dalso, isa Heichal, they're also going to be interchangeable as it relates to, it's the same pasuk, the same exact pasuk. Ushchatoi Pesach Oyomoy. So they're going to be interchangeable as it relates to defining what a Pesach is as it relates to the laws of Erevin. Zok the Gemara. Bishleim and Mikdash to Ikri Mishkan. So we're saying that the reason Mikdash and Mishkan are interchangeable is because you find the Beis HaMikdash was called Mishkan, and you find that the Mishkan was called the Beis HaMikdash. So Bishleim of the Mikdash, you find what's called a Mishkan. The Pasuk says, V'nasati Mishkani B'soichachem. Now this is a Pasuk in Teres Koyanim. And this Pasuk is referring not to the Mishkan, rather it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. How do you know that? Rashi says, because this Pasuk was a Haftach at the Klal Yisrael.
Hashem told Klal Yisrael that there's going to be a time and a place with an Asati Mishkan Yivasoichem. Now, the Yidden had the Mishkan already at that point. So they didn't even have tocha that they're going to have the Mishkan. They had the Mishkan. Must be this was something else. What else could it have been? It must have been the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that the Pasuk says, V'nasati Mishkan Yivasoichem, and really it's not referring to the Mishkan, it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. So you have a Makar that the Mikdash is called Mishkan. El Mishkan, Dekri Mikdash Minolon. How do you know that the Mishkan, where do you find that the Mishkan was called Mikdash? So the maybe from that pasuk, it says the Kohasim, this is in the Midbar, were carrying the Mikdash. Now, there was no Beis HaMikdash in the Midbar. Must have been the Mishkan. So you see that the Mishkan is something called Mikdash. But Ahu Ba'arim, Ksiv, the Gemara says, no, that pasuk that's describing what the B'nai Kohas were carrying is not referring to the Mishkan. It's not referring to the Beis HaMikdash. But rather, it's referring to the Arayin. And the Arayin is called Mikdash. But it's not a Makar that the Mishkan is called Mikdash. Elam Mehacha, the most obvious Pasuk. V'asuli Mikdash, v'shachanti v'soichan. And from V'asuli Mikdash, v'shachanti v'soichan, we learn this idea that the Mishkan is called Mikdash because this is the Tzivoy in the beginning of Parashas Truma, where Hashem tells Moshe, who tells the Yidden, go ahead and build a Beis HaMikdash or build a Mishkan. And what does it say? Not build a Mishkan. It says V'asuli Mikdash. You see clearly that Mishkan is called Mikdash. Zok Digmar, Bein the Rabbanon, Bein the Rabbi Yehuda, Sai Koin to Rabbanon and Koin to Rabbi Yehuda. So up until now, the Chachamim hold that a Mavi Shugavai Lamai Lamai Asr Mami Yamai. The Kodah can't be more than 20 Amos tall. What's the Makar? We learn it from a Pasuk in the Torah. Shchate Pesach Ayomayid and Heichel is one and the same. So Chachamim say the entranceway to the Heichel is called an entrance. So if that's the case, if the Kodah is up until 20 Amos, it's going to be fine. Rabbi Yehuda holds it could be even more than 20 Amos. What's the Makar to Rabbi Yehuda? Either he holds same Pasuk, but the Ayomayid doesn't just mean Heichel in the equivalent thereof to the Beis HaMikdash, but it means Ulam as well, because the Kedusha of the Ulam and the Kedusha of the Heichel were one and the same. V'ibayasema, he learned it from a Pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem, which Taisu says doesn't really exist. So the Gemara asks, Akasha, Sai according to the Rabban and Sai according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we learn the Makar, the source to how tall the Kedusha could be, from either the Heichel or from the Ulam. Why don't we learn instead from the Pesach of the gates of the Chatzir? The Pasuk says, Oirach HaChatzir Vasiso Es HaMizbeach Atzei Shitim Chomesh HaMiz Oirach. Wrong Pasuk. Oirach HaChatzir Meir Ba'ama. Oirach HaChatzir Meir Ba'ama. V'roichev Chamishim B'Chamishim V'koyma Chomesh Amos Sheish Mashzor V'adneim Nechoshes. So the Pasuk is describing the dimensions of the Chatzir. The Chatzir was 100 Amos long and it was 50 Amos wide. And then the Pasuk goes on to say that on the eastern side, on the Mizrach side of the Mishkan, there was Chomesh Esrei Amos Klom L'Kosef Amudeim Shloisha V'adneim L'Shloisha V'la'Kosef HaShenish Mizeh U'Mizeh L'Sharei Chatzir Klom. So you had on the Mizrach side, there weren't curtains and beams that surrounded the entire Chatzar, but rather on 15 Amos to the right side, 15 Amos from the left side, there were Kalayim, but as it relates to the middle, that was all open. So if it's 50 Amos wide, just basic math, 5-0, and then you have 1-5 and 1-5 on the two sides, with an entranceway in the middle, how wide then is the entranceway? It's obviously 20 Amos. It's 50 minus 15 minus 15, 50 minus 30, which is 20, which means that the entranceway is really 20 Amos. So if the entranceway is 20 Amos, so why then does the Mishnah say that if the entranceway is 10 Amos, why do you have to be Mayit? Because it's 10 Amos, that's already too wide. If what we're trying to do is establish a Pesach, and as long as we can establish a Pesach, that's what's going to allow me now to carry in this Mavoi, and we're using the Psukim, scriptural sources, as the definition of what exactly a Pesach is. So if that's the case, L'chura, we have a source that even up to 20 Amos is considered a Pesach. Because you see, the Pasuk is describing the Pesach. The Pasuk is describing the Pesach of the Chatzar. And how wide was the Pesach of the Chatzar? We know the Pesach of the Chatzar was 20 Amos wide. Sefrei the Gemara, Mala Halon, just like over there, Chomesh Bereichev Asrim, Afkan Chomesh Bereichev Asrim. Now it's interesting, the Gemara's Kasha isn't that it should always be okay if the Pesach is 20 Amos wide. The Gemara's question is that if it's 5 Amos tall, then it should be 20 Amos wide.
And then it should be okay. And the reason is because the Gemara now assumes that the height of the Kloyim that surrounded the Chatzar was 5 amas. So being that it was 5 amas, you only know that a Pesach of 20 amas is okay if the height is 5 amas. But it could be, if it'd be taller, it wouldn't be okay. It's the Lashon HaGemara. Ma lahalon chomesh b'roichav esrim. Afkan chomesh b'roichav esrim. So maybe here too, chomesh b'roichav esrim at the very least should be okay. So the Gemara says no, because over there, it's true you find that the entranceway of the Chatzar was called a Pesach. The Pasuk says, the Gemara brought a bunch of psukim and bunched them all together. But the punchline was ve'iskalei achatzer ve'es masach pesach shar achatzer. But the Gemara says pesach shar achatzer. You find that it's called pesach shar achatzer. Pesach stam alay yikri. You don't find that it's called stam pesach. Pesach shar achatzer. Yeah, stam pesach. No. And in order to be machshir the mavi, you would have to find the makar that it's called stam pesach. Iba yisema. Another teretz. Maybe why you can't learn anything from the chatzer is because ki siv klon chomesh esrei amo lekase begoyva hudachsev. Maybe when it says 15 amos, maybe we read the pasuk wrong. We assume that on the Mizrach side of the Chatzar, so there was 15 Amis of Klam on one side, 15 Amis on another side, meaning the width was 15 Amis, which means that it created a Pesach that was going to be 20 Amis. So you see, you have a Makar that a Pesach could be even 20 Amis. Where it says, maybe we're not reading it right. Maybe when it says 15 Amis, what it's referring to is the height. How could it be referring to the height? It says clearly it was 5 Amis. We just mentioned that. Mara says, maybe the 5 Amis mentioned there is Misfas Mizbech Olamayla. It's Machlokes in the Gemara. Elsewhere, Rashi brings in a Chumash, how tall the Mizbeach was. But according to one man d'amar, it was 10 Amos. So you could say that maybe the 5 Amos is referring to the difference between the height of the Chatzar versus the height of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was 10 Amos, which means the Chatzar would be 15 Amos, and that's what the 5 Amos is. But the point is, you don't find anywhere, you have no Makar, that there was 15 Amos of width, 15 Amos of width, which then created this entranceway, which was going to be 20 Amos. Why? Zok to Gemar. Rabbi Yehuda mi pischa shalom gamar. How could Rav say that the Makar to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Kaira could be more than 20 Amos tall, is from the Pesach of the Ulan? The Mishnah said 2 halachas. The Mishnah says that the Kaira can't be more than 20 amas tall. It also said that the entranceway can't be more than 10 amas wide. On that second halacha, Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue. What's the kasha? If the Makar to Rabbi Yehuda is that the definition of Pesach at the very least can mirror the opening of the Ulam, so the Ulam was more than 20 amas tall, it was also more than 10 amas wide. It was 40 by 20. So how come Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue in the halacha that it's not allowed to be wider than 10 amas? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Apolik B'Braisa, so that even though it's true in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue, but again, the Braisa very often was a little wordier than the Mishnah. It didn't speak as much Belashon Kitzara. So in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda does argue. Learn to the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says clearly in the Braisa, you don't have to be mad. So how come Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue in the Mishnah? Again, in the spirit of just not talking too much, once you say that Rabbi Yehuda argued with the first halacha that it's allowed to be more than 20 amis, so we should already understand why Rabbi Yehuda said what he said, and we should already understand that Rabbi Yehuda would probably have argued with regards to the as well. But the Gemara asks another kasha. Could it be that Rabbi Yehuda's makar is from the opening of the Ulam of time? We learned to the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda was machshir. But here we have again a little more words. Ad mem v'nun amo up until 40 and 50. Emphasis on 50 amos. V'tani bar kapara. Bar kapara is another shita. Ad meya, even 100. So the Gemara says like this. Especially the bar kapara, even 100 guzma. He didn't say 300, but 100 is always a Lashon Guzma. Elo the Rabbi Yehuda, my Guzma. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the Guzma? 40 or 50? I mean, it sounds like, yeah, it's 40, 50. So Bishloima, the Rabbi Yehuda Arboim. I understand 40. Gama mi pischa shalulam. Elo nun mi nale. A bombekasha. If the Makar to Rabbi Yehuda is the Ulam, that means Rabbi Yehuda also has a number. The Chavim have a number 20. How did they come to 20? Pesach of the Heichel. Rabbi Yehuda has a number of 40. How does he get to 40? The Pesach of the Ulam. Whether it's Shchati Pesach HaYomayit and the Ulam and the Heichel is one, or whether it's this Pasuk in Yechezkel Perek Mem that doesn't exist, but at the end of the day, he's learning it from a Pesach. Which Pesach? The Pesach of the Ulam. Okay, the Mishnah said in Masechtas Midos what the dimensions of the Pesach of the Ulam was. It had to be 40. So Freit the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yehuda then in the Braisa say 50. This is a bombekasha. Rav Chizda says, this is such a good question. You have to say that Rav made a toss.
Rav made a mistake. Rav was the one that said that the Makar to Rav Yehuda was Gamra Mipischa Shalulam. It's clear from this Braisa that that's not the case. So Amr Rav Chizda, again, something that if Rav Chizda didn't say, we couldn't say. Hamas Nisa Ati Isay L'Rav. Rav made a mistake, and I'll tell you what confused him. The Tanya, the following Braisa. Mavishu Gavay Mechaf Amo, Yoyser Mipischa Shalulam. Shalheichal Yemayet. The Braisa again says the halach of the Mishnah, but adds a little bit of language. This is so important in understanding the tzura of a Gemara, right? The Gemara is bringing a Braisa that says what the Mishnah says. No, it adds language. And Rav was taken aback. He didn't see this in the Mishnah because the Mishnah didn't say that. But the Braisa gets involved in Pischa Shalulam. Who saw that? Rav thought, it's obvious that the Rabbanon are learning the Makar to 20 Amos from Pischa Shalhechel. That's what they said. Why are they talking about the Hechel? We're learning Erevin, not Kachim. Oh, because that must be the source. So Rabbi Yehuda Mipischa Shalulam Gamar. So you assume Rabbi Yehuda probably also learned it from Kachin. He probably learned it Mipischa Shalulam. But the Gemara says, Valohi. Rabbi Yehuda Mipischa de Melachim Gamar. Rabbi Yehuda really learned it Mipischa de Melachim. I mean, he didn't learn it from a Pasuk. He just knew that the kings, they used to live in these big bumba houses, and sometimes they had psachim that went very, very high, and sometimes they went at arboim, at chamishim amos, and that's where he learned it from. It has nothing to do with the ulam. It has nothing to do with the ulam. Says Rav Chizda, I disagree with Rav. I think it's a tois. I think Rav made a mistake. Rav said ulam, masnisa atisei l'rav, but that's where it's coming from. Zok the Gemara, drop more. Rabbanon, imi pischa shal heichol gemiri, if the Rabbanon learned Tarallachim and the Pesach of the heichol, libayu dausas kehechol, why do you need doors like the heichol? The heichol has doors. If the makar to a Pesach is, whatever the heichol has, so shouldn't you have to have doors? Why did we learn hechshem mavi, b'shamay yomrim lechi v'kairo? In order to be machshem mavi, b'shamay says you have to have a lechi and a kaira. Ubeisol, I remember Beisol says what we spoke at in the introduction, lechi ay kaira, either a lechi or a kaila. But at the same time, nobody holds that you have to have doors. If the makar is pischay shel oyel moed, and what we're trying to establish with the kaira is a Pesach, then maybe it should have to be a Pesach with a door. So the Gemara says, no, Dal says, Heichel Litznius, Ba'amu Davi, no concept of doors is only Litznius, and being that it's only Litznius, so it's not something you have to worry about. One last kasha, Elam Yat, Leit, Hanu Leit, Tzuras HaPesach. The Mishnah says that if the entranceway to the Mavi has a Tzuras HaPesach, if there's a Tzuras HaPesach, meaning you have two sticks, two lechis, and something on top, then the halach is that even if it's more than 10 amos, it's going to be okay. Right, the Gemara shouldn't work. You know why? Because if the makar to the definition of a Pesach is the Heichel, Heichel, Tzuras HaPesach, Havilai. The Heichel had a Tzuras HaPesach, and Afilu Hachi, Eser Amos, Hud Raviach. And still, you see that it was 10 Amos. Meaning, if the paradigm of a Pesach is the Pesach of the Heichel was only 10 Amos, that's how you know only 10 Amos. The Pesach had a Tzuras HaPesach. So you see that even if it has a Tzuras HaPesach, it's right to only 10 Amos. So how could you tell me if there's a Tzuras HaPesach, it's okay even if it's more than 10 Amos? And Allah Matan, why did we learn in our mission, Yesh, Tzuras HaPesach, Alpha Pishon, Racham, Yesh, Amos, and Yitzarachlan? Right? So the Gemara says, Midu, time Elul Rav. It's true. You're asking a kasha according to Rav. Rav was the one who said that the Makar to the Chachamim and the Makar to Rav Yehuda is from the Pesach of the Heichal, or it's from the Pesach to the Ulam. Ha masni le Rav Yehuda lechia bar Rav kamei de Rav. But you should know, says the Gemara, that Rav Yehuda was once saying this halacha over techia bar Rav in the presence of Rav. Einoi tzarich lemayit, and he said over the halacha of the Mishnah. But Amalei and Rav said it's a mistake. The Mishnah asnei tzarich lemayit. No, you do have to be mayit. Meaning the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't help if the entranceway is wider than 10 amas. What's pshat? It's Rav l'shitasoi, because Rav holds that the makar is the Pesach of the Heichal. Rav holds the makar is the Pesach of the Ulam. Being that that's the Makar, and you see there that it was only 10 Amos, even though there was a Tzuras HaPesach, so you say, Meris, even if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, it's not going to be okay, and Enochinami, the Mishnah should be a Kashan Rav, but it's only a Kashan Rav if you have the Gersa that we have in our Mishnah. Rav changed the Gersa of the Mishnah, and that's very much Rav L'shitase. So it's interesting, we just started learning Masechtas Erevin, Erevin Dav Beis, and the majority of Erevin Dav Beis talks about Kachin. Mishkan Ikri, Mikdash Ikri, Mishkan, Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul's important halachim, Masech Tzvachim, not so important when you learn Erevin. Shlamim Sheshachtam Kaidim Psichas Dausis Ahechel Pesulin. So we're starting Masech Tzvachim, and we're talking about Kachim. And what came to mind is the well known Zayir HaKadosh. The Zayir HaKadosh is in Parshas Kiseitse. Chazal say, it's a pasuk in Zechariah Perik Tes. Oni v'roichev alachamar. Who's the Oni that's roichev alachamar? So the Gemara says in Perik Chelek, the Oni is the Melech HaMashiach. And the Melech HaMashiach is referred to as an Oni. And says the Zohar HaKadosh that the word Oni is Rosh HaTevis, Erevin, Nida, and Yevamis. Erevin, Nida, and Yevamis is Oni, and that's the Oni that's Roichev Alachamar. And the Hezber seems to be that there's some connection between Erevin, Nida, and Yevamis, and the Melech HaMashiach. And it seems that the limud of Erevin, and the limud of Nida, and the limud of Yevamis somehow connect to the Oni V'Roichev Alachamar. They somehow connect to the Geula HaAsida. Poshit, maybe because they're hard, and because they're hard, so it requires a little bit more amelus, it requires the nefesh of the Ani, and it's because of that it's gonna be makar of the Gemula. Above us, the Pshat Zonish Zayin. Erevin, Nida, and Yevamis have some connection to the Melech HaMashiach. There's some connection to La'asa Lava. I think it's Ma'od Matin that we started Masechtas Erevin with a whole daf Gemara about Mishkan and Mikdash. The Gemara quoted this pasuk that doesn't exist in Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel, we know, talks about the Binyan Bayis Shlishi, right? Bayis Rishon is in Sefer Melachim. Bayis Sheni is in Sefer Chagai, Vishnayis Midois. All the psukim that Chazal quote regarding the Beis HaMikdash from Sefer Yecheskel is referring to Bayis. We should tackle all be zeicha in the schos of learning Masechtas Erevin. Ani should be zeicha to the Ani v'roicha v'lachamar. It should be, and that schos we should be zeicha to the Geula HaSidah.